Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm your host, Brandon Peoples. And thanks to Tina Rockhold for being with us on the last segment. We're going to switch gears, talk with Marcia Boswell, who's the Director of Communication with Kansas Wheat. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
It's so good to talk with you and get a little bit of sense of what wheat harvest has been like here in 2019. I know it was a little late maybe getting going.
Yeah, so we had about 2.5 weeks delayed on our regular time frame for wheat harvest. So typically in Kansas, we grow winter wheat, so it starts, harvest starts around the first part of June and is usually pretty much wrapped up shortly after the 4th of July. And this year, with the rain that we got throughout the growing season, it delayed harvest quite a bit, and people really weren't able to get started until mid-June to late June. And so we didn't get harvest wrapped up until mid to late July. And a lot of times when you have a delayed harvest like that, it does affect quality. This year we had some excellent quality wheat. We had excellent yields, mostly due to the moisture. And we sort of have a tale of two crops this year, because in the central corridor, they had almost too much rain, right? So they had mud holes and had delays getting into the field. In the western part of the state, the yields were above average, excellent yields in the entire western corridor from that moisture that they received during the growing season. So it was, even though acres are down, we only have 7 million acres of wheat grown this year in Kansas, which is pretty much a record low for the last 100 years or so. But we're going to have an average production crop because yields are excellent this year.
Is that surprising to you to see yields so well, even with the delayed harvest?
The main reason that yields are increasing is because of some of the research that's going on in places like Kansas State University and you know, with the private companies as well. So there's a lot of investment going into wheat research that is improving yields across not just Kansas, but across the country.
Okay. And one of those, we have one right in town here, the Innovation Center, which I think I've been to, I've at least traveled near. I don't know if I've been inside, but it's a pretty neat looking building.
Yeah, so if you're driving down Kimball Avenue across from the football stadium, you may notice on the north side of the street there, we have the Kansas Wheat Innovation Center, and that's actually on the North Grain Science Complex of Kansas State University. But that facility is owned by Kansas farmers. So Kansas farmers, through their checkoff, which funds the Kansas Wheat Commission, decided that they needed to invest more in research. And so that opened about 8 years ago. They pulled their money together and put it into this research facility. And so when you're driving by, you may just see it kind of looking as an office space. But in the back, you can see that we have 8 greenhouses. And there's also 15,000 square feet of research laboratories in the facility. And so we work with breeders and researchers at Kansas State. We also have some private companies that we work with in that facility as well. And so the main goal of that is to get improved varieties out to farmers faster. So in a traditional wheat breeding timeline, it takes about 10 or 12 years before a new variety is out to farmers. And with some of the research that we're doing in there, we're able to cut that time in half. And so it's really making improvements in things like quality and yield for farmers.
Great. Well, and as far as ongoing research right now, are there any projects specifically you're working on?
So we have some ongoing projects, like I mentioned, wheat breeding, mm-hmm. that are long-term projects. So we continue those every year. We're also working with some researchers to do some like gene editing research. And so that's a really new technology that is now available for researchers to use to make specific improvements. In 2017, the wheat genome was sequenced, and that was an international project because the wheat genome is actually 5 times bigger than the human genome, people maybe don't realize how complex it is. And so with that, it kind of gives the researchers a roadmap to use. And when they have access to technology like gene editing or CRISPR-Cas9, then they're able to make really specific adjustments and improve wheat varieties for farmers, and also make improvements for consumers in terms of nutrition and taste.
You mentioned having variety. Why is it important to have variety for a wheat farmer?
That's a great question. So the varieties are the choice of seed that they plant. So you need to have something that's adapted for the area. Or we also have varieties that are resistant to certain kinds of pests or diseases. And so a farmer is going to have maybe 100 varieties to choose from, and they're going to choose the one that they think will work best in their area and on their soil. And so they are going to be able to choose something that if they know that they have some kind of pest or disease that is prevalent in their area, they're going to choose a variety that's resistant to that. And that's just going to allow them to grow that variety without having damage from some environmental impact.
Okay. And you, as far as pesticides, is there any research going on with pesticides and maybe what you should and shouldn't be using?
Yes. So we have several projects on management practices. And so you're looking at all different kinds of practices, whether it's, you know, using fertilizer and the different times that you should apply it and the different rates to pesticides. Now we hear, we hear a lot about maybe pesticides that are used on wheat. But really a lot of those are done as control for weeds before the wheat is even planted. So in Kansas, we plant wheat in the fall, September and October. It actually starts coming up in the fall, and then it goes dormant over the winter. And then in the spring, it'll start growing again, and then it's harvested, like I mentioned, in the summer. And so in that summer to fall time frame, we have to use different ways to control the weeds that are growing in that land. And so herbicides or that type of thing may be used to control the weeds during that fallow period. Another way that we've used in the past is to till the soil and break up those weeds. But a lot of the farmers in Kansas have found that using no-till or not tilling the soil is actually better for moisture control and temperature control. So they'll use a herbicide to control the weeds during that time and then put the crop back in the fall.
Okay. And what about the use of technology? I know when I worked and lived in Nebraska, I knew a little bit about corn planting and harvesting, mm-hmm. but they use a lot of drone technology. Is that used in the wheat fields as well?
A lot of research is being done on that. There's some drone technology, but most of the technology is actually in the combine and in the tractors.
Okay.
So they're using precision planting and some auto steer, and there are projects going on where we're finding out that, you know, for fertilizer application or something, maybe certain parts of the field need more fertilizer and other parts don't need it as much. And so they're really able to apply that with precision and use that to not over apply and not under apply and really be able to maximize the quality of the crop and the yields.
Okay. That's interesting. Well, that'll probably only continue to get better. Back to the Innovation Center. If people want to take tours, do you guys give tours there?
We do give tours mostly for ag groups. So, but there have been other groups that come in. We just ask that you call ahead and get that scheduled so that we make sure we have somebody available to do the tour. But it takes about 30 minutes to an hour to walk through and kind of see some of the research that's going on. It's a rather large facility, but there are different projects going on in some of the different greenhouses. One thing that we do have in that facility is a gene bank. So we have wild wheat relatives from all over the world that we have little packets of seed for each of those. And those are kept in a climate-controlled building or a climate-controlled environment. And then we will actually grow those out and cross those with modern bread wheat. And so then we'll be able to bring in something like drought resistance or heat tolerance into our modern bread wheats. So since those are relatives of wheat, they're in the ancestry, and we're able to bring in some of those resistances, which is a really unique thing that we have going on there in the Innovation Center.
Okay. Well, we got to take a break here. Do you have time to stay with us for one more segment?
Absolutely. Thank you.
We'll take a break back with us with Marsha Boswell, Director of Communication, Kansas Wheat, on In Focus after this.